We're going to read the scripture in Proverbs chapter 8, and we're going to read from verse 22. This is wisdom speaking. We have that in verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Many passages I could have looked at, but I thought we'd come to these verses. Proverbs 8 from verse 22 to the end of the chapter. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet life has not made the earth or the fields, while as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea to its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, there I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favour from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. And may God bless his word to us. Well, the passage we read presents us, I think, with something of a conundrum. Who is it speaking about? Well, it's obvious it's speaking about wisdom. The chapter begins, does not wisdom cry out? Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. It's talking about wisdom. So when we get to verse 22 of Proverbs 8, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, it's wisdom that's being spoken of. And yet many have said there is more to it than that. That as we look at these verses, though there are other verses in Proverbs that personify wisdom, look at the next chapter. This seems to personify wisdom in some words that only seem really appropriate to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope to be able, as we go through, to show how it is that these verses which speak of God's wisdom also speak of Christ. And I think one of the best ways to start is this. Now, here comes the theology. So you have to, you know, if you only listen for 2 minutes, you'll get the theology and nothing else. But we have to remember this. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the eternal Son of God. That is who he is in his essence. The Father is the Father of the Son, and the Son is the Son of the Father, and always has been in their very being. When we come to the New Testament, we find the Lord Jesus revealed, the Son of God, don't we, as the Word, the eternal Word, who was always with the Father, and the Word who has been made flesh. Now, think of word. What does word speak of? Word speaks of revelation. Word speaks of speaking, of declaring, of showing forth. And therefore, we are brought, aren't we, to remember that the Son of God, who is essentially the Son of God, has always been the Word, but the concept of the Word is not one that's easy to grasp, is it, until you get to the point of a creation, which can be spoken into being by him, and of a creation into which he can speak. So word, in a sense, always has to have reference to the creation, which of course is not eternal. And I think there is a parallel between that and what we read of wisdom here. I think we can certainly back that up and show that, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, when Paul speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, Christ the power, but to us, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man and the weakness of God is stronger than men. To us, Christ the wisdom of God. Verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Or again, Paul in Colossians and in chapter 3 speaks in these terms of the Lord Jesus Christ and says of him in these glorious words of Christ, the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In other words, there are great mysteries, aren't there, about the work, not the person necessarily, of the Son before creation, but we're told that once creation starts, he is the Word. And here, clearly, once creation starts, here is wisdom. And I think that is the way to look at it. These are verses which, looking at Christ from the full revelation of Scripture, as the Son of God, who is the Word in the creation of and into his creation, is also the wisdom of God in the creation and into the creation. If we look at it in that way, we're used to thinking of Christ as the Word, Christ as the wisdom also of God, as those verses we've quoted say. True eternal wisdom then is found for us. Whatever else we have to say, whatever else we could say tonight, whatever else we could rightly say or wrongly say tonight, true eternal wisdom is found in the true eternal Son of God for us. Wisdom for us is incorporated in Christ. And all I've been saying in these past weeks, and I know many of the passages have not really led us to speak much of Christ, but it's all only found in him. We've seen wisdom can be defined perhaps as just simply doing the right things and not the wrong things. We've seen then that there's been, I hope this is built on, that there's been a moral element to this wisdom. It's not just about common sense. It's about doing that which glorifies God from the work of God within us. And the wisdom is sent from above, true wisdom. And now we come perhaps to a culmination of saying, and that wisdom is found only in and through Christ, but it is found in and through Christ. And so three things tonight, plus a conclusion, so it's fairly conventional, isn't it? First, the pre-existence of wisdom. We've been touching on this, but we need to say more. These magnificent verses, chapter 8, verse 22, the Lord possessed, or perhaps better, brought me forth at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from eternity, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth. The Son is eternally begotten, and the Father is always the Father of the Son, but wisdom for us is incorporated in the Son, so that wisdom existed before creation. And that has to be, doesn't it, if the Son is the one through whom all things were made. But he is also the radiance of God's glory, as we're told in Hebrews. We have to say that the Son has to be perfectly wise, and he is eternal. And so there is perfect eternal wisdom to be found in the Son. And that means that before God made the world, God was wisely working out, if we can use those expressions, what to do about this world and about people. And there's much in the scriptures, isn't there, that speaks of that. We have a world brought into being. We have man is created and man falls. And immediately God says, this is what's going to happen now. He knows all in advance. Indeed, the scripture opens up to us, doesn't it, this great covenant of redemption in which the Father has a people who he is going to save from their sins. And the way he's going to do that is that he sends the Son, and the Son agrees to come and to become man and to become one with us, to take our very nature and to come to die in our place and to bear our sins. And as a reward and a vindication, The Son will be raised by the Father from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then what will happen? Well, then he will be raised and ascend in glory, and then he can pour out, he has given the Holy Spirit to pour out, to bring those the Father has eternally given him to himself. And it is pictured in different places in the scriptures, you put it together, of this great covenant, this great agreement, this great plan between Father and Son and Holy Spirit. So that how are we going to be saved? Well, they're each playing their part in perfect harmony, so that the salvation of God's elect is absolutely secure for all eternity, because God's plans cannot be undone. And then we start looking at it, don't we, from our side as believers now, and we start to see this revealed. And as we see the way we have been saved revealed, we are constantly amazed, aren't we, at the love of God and the power of God, but surely also at the wisdom of God. We feel there are things here that are beyond our understanding, and yet we think, but God has planned it and purposed it eternally, wisely, knowing how to save sinners. And, of course, God also showed that wisdom immediately, didn't he, when creation came into being. Here we are, verse 24, you see. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. Here is God being wise and planning a perfect creation, which when he has brought it into being through, if we are right, this one who is wisdom personified, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, his eternal Son, God can look at it and say, it is very good. To reach that standard, it's perfect, isn't it? Because this is the perfect God speaking. Here is wisdom in all the creation. We have sung, yes, God is good in earth and sky, in ocean depths and spreading wood. 10,000 voices seem to cry, God made us all and God is good. But you could equally, though it wouldn't rhyme, take out the word good and put in the word wise, couldn't you? Yes, God is wise. It's a good wisdom. And therefore, when man was created, God could immediately express this wisdom for man, couldn't he? There is Adam in the garden, and the Lord is not saying, I wonder what I should tell him to do and not do. Immediately he's saying, eat of every tree. Before that he's saying, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over it. Eat of every tree, but not that tree. All the commands are there. And here is the eternal God who has said, let us make man in our image. The triune God, wisely giving us these commands. And he's gone on to do this. And in the end, he says, doesn't he, that the scriptures, preached on this with you last year, didn't I, are able to make us wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, the eternal wisdom of God. Which means, you see, means perhaps many things, but it means this, I think. It is more important to be wise than to be alive in this creation. Because one day, if you're alive here, you won't be here. But if you are wise here, you'll always be wise. Proverbs 1 here in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Into chapter 2 verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. And that is true not just in this creation, but forever. Because this creation will go, won't it? The sky will be rolled up like a scroll. The earth and all in it will be burnt up. This creation will go, and on that day, the really important thing is this, that you are in Christ. That you have been made wise. to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And that therefore you are sharing in the one who is God's eternal wisdom forever and ever. It's what you need to make sure that you are. The Lord Jesus Christ is not some remote figure, that he is the one in whom you are and finding him to be wisdom as well as sanctification and redemption and righteousness. The one who makes you holy, yes. The one who sets you apart to God. The one who redeems you by his blood. The one who becomes your righteousness. These great salvation terms. And Paul says, but also wisdom. The one who is your wisdom. So that you are not looking elsewhere. For how can I be saved? You are clinging only to Christ, God's eternal wisdom. Then secondly, we see here wisdom's part in creation. Verse 27 to verse 31. When he prepared the heavens, says wisdom of the Lord, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters could not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. It's God's wisdom expressed in and through Christ, through whom everything was made, and without whom nothing has been made that has been made. Through him, the heavens were made. The earth was made. Notice the reference to the circle on the face of the deep. Why is there a circle on the face of the deep? Why is that? Why does the horizon appear? Because the earth is a globe in space. You go up on the cliffs and you can see further out to sea than on your beach, because the earth is not flat. The earth is rounded. And God is doing this wisely, making the earth exactly as it is, the right size, the right distance from the sun, with the right climate for all the creatures he's going to make in his perfect wisdom, and assigning the waters to a place they can't. He separates them out, and the waters are separated, and the dry land appears. And after the flood, again, the waters are separated, and the dry land appears. Now, when that happened, you see, we're told, wisdom says, verse 30, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, or better, I was daily delighting, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Wisdom portrayed as a craftsman who delights in his work. Well, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that everything was made. The eternal wisdom of God who becomes wisdom for us. Four things we're told here, aren't we, of him? We're told, I was daily delighting in him. That's what it means. And that's daily is important, isn't it? Because God brought forth the earth, heavens and the earth without form, empty, and then he fashioned them day by day, as his word teaches. And here is the picture of the craftsman who is making his work on day one and making his more of his work on day two and three and four and five and six. And all the time, delighting. The craftsman who never has to say, oh, I've made a botch of that, throw it away, start again. The craftsman who can delight in creation. This is the Lord Jesus Christ on each of the 6 days. Showing that it is wise that we too work on 6 days and rest on the seventh, as God said. Not only wise, but it is wise. Because 6 days he delights in his work. We're told too of wisdom, and we've seen this is Christ rejoicing in what the creation displayed of God's unfolding glory, rejoicing always before him. Eternally, we read this, don't we, of the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, or face to face with God. And the Word was God, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. But you see, what this is saying is, as it were, the Son is rejoicing in what the creation displayed of God's glory as that unfolded, as he made a heavens and an earth, as he separated out the water from the earth. He separates the air from the earth and the water from the earth, and he makes the great lights, and then he brings forth all this vegetation and then all these creatures. And it all speaks, doesn't it, of the glory of God. And there is wisdom delighting in it. And when it's finished, rejoicing in his inhabited world. Because the first part is much of separation, isn't it, and preparation. And then here comes the vegetation. Here come the creatures, these great sea creatures and the birds of the air. And then all the land creatures. And the earth God did not make to be empty, his word says. He made it to be inhabited. And here again is the rejoicing of wisdom in this inhabited world. And finally, and my delight was with or in the sons of man. Delighting in mankind as the pinnacle, as God's image. The eternal Son of God, the wisdom of God incorporated in him, looking out and seeing man and saying, what a glorious being. What potential, well, what actual glory is here, but what potential glory is here. One man, one woman in a garden, told to go out and fill the earth and to subdue it for God, told they can do this. Why can they do it? Because they are made in the image of God. Here is the one who is the essential image of God, rejoicing in Adam and Eve, the created image of God. Here is the one who is going to become man, rejoicing in man. You see, that's what man is meant to be, isn't it? And the whole scripture, really, after the first three chapters of Genesis, which tell us of the creation and then man's fall into sin, are all about, well, it starts in the early chapters after that, doesn't it, in Genesis, and how bad it all is, and there's murder going on and mayhem going on, and everybody's doing wickedness all the time, and God wipes everybody out except eight people and begins with those family, and then people begin to rebel, and no, we're not going to serve God, and the Tower of Babel, and then you get to Abraham, but God's planned it all along, and from that time on, it's all about, isn't it, this is how I am going to restore man to the image of God, undefaced, undefiled. And this is how I am going to fulfill what mankind was made for originally. A people who will serve their God, love their God, have fellowship with one another and with their God perfectly in love and reign with him forever and ever. And wisdom can see the potential and know how that's going to be fulfilled. And fulfilled, of course, in a way which brings greater glory to God than if God had allowed man not to fall. Because it's a way which glorifies also the grace and the mercy, the redeeming love of God for fallen, sinful man, rebel sinners. So to be wise, we ought to do this too, wouldn't we? We ought to delight in the things that God has made. When you read Genesis 1, don't just read and say, God did this, God did that. That's fine. But say, start thinking about these things, each one, each day's work. What have we got? We still have it, don't we? It's not gone away. So you can meditate on the first day work and you can say there is light. And you can say, well, here we are on the second day and there is the sky. And then you have the heavens, and the third day you can see here is the land, and you go on and you go on and you look at each part and you say, yes, God is good. You rejoice in what the creation displays of God's glory. You rejoice in the world that God has made and the heavens that God has made. And yes, you delight in man. You delight in who he is, in his essence. And you delight in him in such a way that you say, yes, here are sinners, and some of them cause me great grief and cause other people great grief. but yet God was wise to make man. It's wise to know that God made all things. It's wise not to deny that he made them. It's wise not to live as if he hasn't made you and all things. And that leads us to the necessary response here in verses 32 to 36, because we're told what that is. Now therefore listen to me. You see the therefore, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Children of wisdom are addressed. Believers are addressed. So if this is Christ in whom this wisdom is incorporated, then we are to hear the voice of Christ here, aren't we? We're to hear the voice of him who is made to us wisdom. And he distresses us as children. Listen to me, my children. I'm sure all of us have differing amounts of how much we ever listened to our parents, and probably, I'm sure, also we'd have different experiences of how wise our parents actually were in what they told us to do. But here is the one who has given us birth, and here is the new birth, and here is the one who is perfectly wise, and here is the one who is perfectly loving, and he says, listen to me. What a privilege to be able to listen to him. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? What a privilege to be able not only to listen to the page, as it were, but to listen and hear within the mind and the spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the voice of God speaking to us day by day. How wrong it is to let the voices of the world crowd it out. Listen to him. Why? For blessed are those who keep my ways. We can identify again, can't we? People who are wise in to their limits. And it's, we say afterwards, I'm glad I listened to him. I asked his advice, her advice, and they said, do this or don't do that. And I'm glad I listened because it proved right. But here is one from whom it always proves right. And the blessing is not just in the hearing then, is it? The blessing is in the doing. Blessed are those who keep my ways. It's always the way of blessing to obey the voice of God. May not be the way of ease. May not be the way of earthly happiness. It's always the way of blessing. It's always the way of God working in your soul that which is good, and for your eternal blessing and joy to listen to him and keep his way. So, hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. I said at the beginning, I think, that there's going to be a certain amount of repetition in these verses from Proverbs and this teaching on wisdom. And I would have thought you've noticed some of it by now. Here it is. We keep getting words like this, don't we? Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Do not ignore it. Do not say, here is a book that's been written so long ago and there's better things now, better wisdom. Here is a book which didn't really know how to deal with this issue and that issue and the other issue. And God said to people, do that, but we've advanced. We've been enlightened. We have moved on. We are progressive. If you progress from God, you're progressing in the wrong direction. If you've reached the point of your destination, progress means you leave the point of your destination. If you're trying to get to the North Pole and you get to the North Pole, you need to cease progressing because you are always moving south if you keep progressing, whichever way you're going. No, the progression is to come to God and hear his instruction and be wise and not to disdain the word of God and say, oh, we know better now because we don't know better now. And those who tell you they know better do not know better. I mean, to believe that. And therefore, blessed is the man who listens to me, says wisdom, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. I'm sure you get the picture. Here is the servant, the Eastern servant. Think of, there you have it, Mordecai in the court, in the book of Esther, and others who are waiting in the court. And they're there to say, well, when the king says, I need a man, I need a servant. And they say, here I am, like Isaiah did in his vision. And they can be sent. Here is the one, in other words, who's always saying, Lord, send me. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Waiting at the posts of my doors. Physically, it might have been uncomfortable to do that. You know, you wrap yourself in your cloak and you lie down on the floor of the anteroom. But when the king wants a willing servant, you're there. As opposed to somebody else who isn't there. And you'll get, if the king is just, your reward for your service. And the Lord is always just, and he always rewards his servants. And our position is to be watching daily at his gates, waiting at the posts of his doors, listening to the word of God before you do anything for the day. We're listening to the word of God for what it commands with regard to today's duties. And it's not going to lay them down, is it? And it's not going to say you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do the other at set times. Is going to teach you how to respond to every person and every situation that you come upon that day. And the wiser you are in the word of God, the more you will find that you, at the end of the day, can say, as I said the other day, less and less you would have to say, I wish I had done that and I didn't. Or I wish I hadn't done that and I did. This is the increasing wisdom, but it's listening. And it's listening not just, you see, to the word in a perfunctory way, reading a passage. It's listening to God's voice. Lord, speak to me through your word today. For whoever finds me, finds life, verse 35, and obtains favour, grace from the Lord. This again is wisdom, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? To find God's wisdom, it is found in Christ. To find God's wisdom is finding Christ. And so it is finding life. Here is the eternal Son who has always been with the Father and through whom all things were made and nothing was made without him. In him was life, says John then, John 1 and verse 4. Finding life, finding eternal life, 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 eternal life. Bunyan has a pilgrim shouting, doesn't he? As he stops his ears to the voice of the tempter and runs from the city of destruction. That's what he wants. That's what we need. How do you find eternal life? This is eternal life, says Jesus to his Father, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Simple to say, isn't it? And simple in a sense to understand, isn't it? Though spiritually can only be understood by the power of the Holy Spirit, but the words are simple, aren't they? To know. You know what it means to know someone? If you can say tonight, I know the Father and the Son, you have eternal life. If you sit here and say, well, I've heard an awful lot about the Father and the Son from the pastor and others who fill this pulpit, and it might all be very interesting, and I believe it might all be very true, but they are still to me, God is still to me a remote being, somewhere up there, then you have not come to know him, and you have not come to know life, and you do not have eternal life. You have to find Christ to find life, for in him is life. You have to find him as a sinner, going to him in your guilt and your pollution, going to him in repentance, crying out to him to forgive you, and not giving up till graciously he allows you to find him. And then you find that you have found favour, grace from the Lord. You find that the Lord has always been beforehand with your soul. You find that he has always been the one who I sought the Lord and afterward I knew. Yes, it was not I who found. No, I was found of thee. That's what it is, isn't it? The favour, the grace of the Lord, the grace of the first reference to this in the scripture. Noah found favour, grace in the sight of the Lord. Everyone else being destroyed, but God was gracious to Noah and saved him. Whatever happens to anyone else, seek, cry out for Christ, and you will find him, and you'll find that it's because God has been gracious to you. You are saved by grace through faith. And then you come to him in whom is grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. From him we receive literally grace for grace. Today's grace you've had, it goes. Tomorrow's grace replaces it. Fresh supplies of grace while pressing on to God. And then there's the warning, isn't there, at the end. It's all been positive, but the negative is here. But he who sins against me, says wisdom, says Christ, wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Mankind is engaged in one giant suicide. And some are actively engaged in that. Oh, they don't know that. But they are actively engaged in saying to people, do not listen to the Bible. Do not believe the gospel. Do not come to Christ. Do not believe that he is the Son of God. Do not believe he died on the cross for sinners. Do not believe he rose from the dead. Do not believe any of this. And we'll all go to hell together. But they don't believe that. But the scripture abundantly says so. If you hate God, if you hate Christ, if you hate wisdom from God in Christ, you love death, you love spiritual death. You love to be separated from God. And tragically, you will get what you love for all eternity. There will be no one in hell who didn't want to be there. You might think that's a strange statement. There will be no one in hell who wanted to be in heaven. There will be no one in hell who has not said that they will follow their own way of sin. There will be no one in hell who wanted to be with God and isn't. You see, those who hate God's wisdom love spiritual death. They destroy themselves and they destroy others. When people say to you how society is going, and people do, don't they? And how it's going downhill and why is it, and bemoan the way society is going, you can say, yes, it's because we've all turned away from God. And the more we turn away from God, the worse it's going to get. Because if we hate God's wisdom, we wrong our own soul and love death. They won't believe, probably, the answer, except by the grace of God. But it gives you opportunity to give the answer. This world does not get worse because man is getting worse in that sense. This world gets worse because man more and more is combining to resist God. And that's when sin gets to its worst. So to conclude, very briefly, if, as he did, the Son of God made the universe, there is no wisdom in it except his and that which is found in him. Many seek wisdom elsewhere, don't they? Since Babel, since man was scattered, men have sought, well, they've set up idols and sometimes they've been worshipping bits of wood. But there has been a current of those who have said we must seek the wisdom of the ages. Perhaps the stars can reveal things and they become astrologers. Or perhaps we can find esoteric things which will give us the wisdom. And people now, well, there's loads of people, aren't there, who will say, oh, that there's been wisdom that's lost and we must find it. But they are not looking in the Bible. They're looking anywhere else to try and find secret codes. They might even look in the Bible to find a secret code, but they're not looking for the plain language which is there and the secret code isn't. To try and find the wisdom, wherever it might be found, out there or within here, and not to look for it in Christ, is to search the darkness to find light. The oldest wisdom is found in Christ. The oldest wisdom is Christ. The oldest wisdom for fallen man is to trust in him, the seed of God who comes, the seed of the woman to crush the head of Satan. The oldest wisdom is to know that your Redeemer lives and he will stand in the end upon the earth. All else is man's invention. God made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions, says God in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29. It's not, is it, to say that all inventions are wrong. I'm not saying science and technology are wrong. Science and technology are neutral. It depends what you do with them. But what it's saying is man has found out all sorts of things. All sorts of things. Invented all sorts of things to say, I've got this, so I don't need God. And it's all emptiness, as Ecclesiastes says. And it's all a puff of wind that will be blown away on that great day. All the wisdom of man. Put it all in the libraries, you know, end to end. How big would the library be of the books which purport to teach us wisdom? Not knowledge, wisdom. Well, there'd be an awful lot of it. All the philosophers. All the people who are saying, live like this, live like that. Put it all end to end and you might as well just set fire to the lot. Not talking about books that help us understand the scripture. Talking about books that try to help us to live in this world and for the next without reference to the scripture. All a total waste. All misleading. God's wisdom is found in Christ. God's wisdom is found in his Son. God's wisdom found in his Son eternally delighted in man, and so the Son became man to save men and women from their sins. Do not fall short of this eternal wisdom, but be made wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.